Chapter 5. His tutorship, sickness, invitation to Northampton, personal narrative continued, diary concluded. In September 1723, Mr. Edwards went to New Haven and received his degree of Master of Arts when he was elected a tutor in the college. About this time, several congregations invited him to become their minister. But being fond of study, and conscious how much it would promote his usefulness, he declined their proposals. As there was no immediate vacancy in the office of tutor, he passed the ensuing winter and spring at New Haven, in study, and in the occasional discharge of the active duties of his profession, and in the beginning of June, 1724, entered on the instruction of a class in the college. The period of his tutorship was a period of great difficulty. For a long time before the election of Mr. Cutler to the office of rector, the college had been in a state of open revolt against the legal government, and had withdrawn from New Haven. 2 years after his election, in January 1721, there was a universal insurrection of the students, which though, after considerable effort, apparently quieted, resulted in a state of extreme disorder and insubordination, beyond anything that had been known before. In 1722, Mr. Cutler, one of the tutors, and two of the neighboring ministers, renounced their connection with the Presbyterian Church, and publicly declared themselves Episcopalians. The shock, occasioned by this event, was very great in the college, in the town, and throughout the colony. And a series of controversies grew out of it, which lasted for many years. In consequence of this, the offices of these gentlemen were vacated, and the college was left for 4 years without a head. The trustees residing by turns at the college, and each in rotation acting as vice-rector for a month. Fortunately, however, for the institution, during this bereavement, it had three gentlemen in the office of tutor, of distinguished talents and scholarship, and of great resolution and firmness of character: Mr. William Smith, of the class of 1719, and chosen tutor in 1722, Mr. Edwards, and Mr. Daniel Edwards, his uncle, classmate and roommate, who was chosen in September 1724. On these three gentlemen, all of whom were young men, devolved almost exclusively the government and instruction of the college. Yet, by their union, energy, and faithfulness, they introduced among the students, in the room of their former negligence and misrule, habits of close study and exact subordination, and in no great length of time, rendered the institution flourishing and prosperous beyond what it had long been. The late President Stiles, who, though a member of college a considerable time after this period, was personally acquainted with the three gentlemen, and knew well the history of their administration, has left an eulogy on the three united, of the highest character. The Honorable William Smith, the Honorable Daniel Edwards, and the Revelation President Edwards, were the pillar tutors, and the glory of the college, at the critical period between Rector Cutler and Rector Williams. Their tutorial renown was great and excellent. They filled and sustained their offices with great ability, dignity, and honor. For the honor of literature, these things ought not to be forgotten. September 1725, immediately after the commencement, as he was preparing to set out for his father's house, he was taken suddenly ill, at New Haven. But hoping that the illness was not severe, and anxious to be at home if he was to be sick, he set out for Windsor. The fatigue of traveling only increased his illness, and he was compelled to stop at North Haven, at the house of the Revelation Mr. Stiles, where he was confined, by severe sickness, about 3 months. During the greater part of this time, his mother was constantly with him. Her husband, writing to her on the 20th of October, begs her to spare herself. "I am afraid you are taking too great a burden on yourself, in tending your son both day and night. I beg of you, therefore, not only to take care of him, but of yourself also. Accept, rather, of the kindness of neighbors, in watching over again, than outbid your own strength, which is but small, by overdoing." She could not leave him till about the middle of November, and it was some time in the winter before he could go to his father's house. In the sickness, he speaks of himself as having enjoyed new, and most refreshing, manifestations of the presence and grace of God. After he had held the office of tutor upwards of 2 years, with the highest reputation, he received proposals from the people of Northampton to become their minister. Many circumstances conspired to prompt his acceptance. He was familiarly acquainted with the place and people. The revelation Mr. Stoddard, his grandfather, a man of great dignity, and of singular weight and influence in the churches, in consequence of his advanced age, stood in need of his assistance, and wished him to be his colleague. His parents and his other friends all desired it. The situation was in itself respectable, and the town unusually pleasant. He therefore resigned his tutorship, in September 1726, and accepted of the invitation. Those who are conversant with the instruction and government of a college will readily be aware that the period, of which we have now been speaking, was a very busy portion of Mr. Edwards's life. And if they call to mind the circumstances of the institution and the habits of the students when he entered on his office, they will not need to be informed that the discharge of his official duties must have been accompanied with painful anxiety. It is a rare event in Providence that so heavy a responsibility is thrown on three individuals so young, so destitute of experience, and of the knowledge of mankind. And the business of instruction and government must have occupied their whole time and exhausted their whole strength. In such a state of things, it was not possible that he should find the same leisure for spiritual exercises as he had found at New York. There his business was chiefly to enjoy. Here it was to act. There the persons with whom he continually associated were possessed of uncommon excellence. Here their characters were very different. There his attention was drawn, by the objects around him, to heavenly things. Here it was necessarily confined almost all the time to this world. There, when retiring for prayer and heavenly contemplation, his mind sought communion with God in all its energy and freshness. Here, when it was worn out by toil and exhausted by perplexities, the change in the current of thought and feeling must, therefore, have been great. And so much is the mind prone to measure its religious state by the amount of daily enjoyment, and so little by the readiness to encounter trials, and to perform laborious and self-denying duties, it is not surprising that he should have regarded this change as evidence of perceptible and lamentable declension in religion. Such he in fact regarded it, as we shall find, both from his narrative and diary. Yet it is by no means certain that his views of the subject were altogether correct. The young Christian has usually a season of leisure, given him in the providence of God, in which to become acquainted with the members of that family into which he has lately been introduced, and with those objects with which as a spiritual being he is in future to be conversant. His time and his strength are given chiefly to the scriptures, to prayer, to meditation, and to religious conversation. And he is delightfully conscious that his communion is with the Father and the Son Jesus Christ through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, as well as with the whole family both on earth and in heaven. The design of this is to open to him his new state of existence, to enable him to understand its relations and duties, and to give him an earnest of better things in reversion. It is a most refreshing and happy period of his life, and, where he designed for contemplation merely, might well be protracted to its close. But, as we are taught most explicitly, in the word and providence of God, his great worth lies in action, in imitating him whose rule it was, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day, and whose practices it was that he went about doing good. The scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Wherefore? That the man of God may be perfected, being thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Probably no year in the life of Mr. Edwards was spent more usefully than that in which he was occupied with his associated, in laying the foundation of sober habits and sound morals, in the seminary now entrusted to their care. Probably in no equal period did he more effectually serve God and his generation. And if, in its progress, he found less of that enjoyment which grows out of spiritual contemplation, he must have had the more delightful consciousness that in the midst of great difficulties and crosses, he had honestly endeavored to serve God and to perform his duty. There may therefore be reason for doubt whether the change in his feelings, of which he speaks in the succeeding parts of his narrative and diary, was not a declension in this particular species of religious enjoyment, necessarily growing out of the circumstances in which he was placed, rather than a declension in the life and power of religion. I continued, he observes, much in the same frame, in the general, as when at New York, till I went to New Haven as tutor of the college. Particularly once at Bolton, on a journey from Boston, while walking out alone in the fields. After I went to New Haven, I sunk in religion, my mind being diverted from my eager pursuits after holiness, by some affairs that greatly perplexed and distracted my thoughts. In September, 1725, I was taken ill at New Haven, and while endeavoring to go home to Windsor, was so ill at the North Village, that I could go no further, where I lay sick, for about a quarter of a year. In the sickness, God was pleased to visit me again with the sweet influences of His Spirit. My mind was greatly engaged there, on divine and pleasant contemplations, and longings of soul. I observed, that those who watched with me, would often be looking out wishfully for the morning, which brought to my mind those words of the psalmist, and which my soul with delight made its own language. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And when the light of day came in at the window, it refreshed my soul, from one morning to another. It seemed to be some image of the light of God's glory. I remember, about that time, I used greatly to long for the conversion of some that I was concerned with. I could gladly honor them, and with delight be a servant to them, and lie at their feet, if they were but truly holy. But some time after this, I was again greatly diverted with some temporal concerns, that exceedingly took up my thoughts, greatly to the wounding of my soul. And went on, through various exercises, that it would be tedious to relate, which gave me much more experience of my own heart than I ever had before. That the mind of Mr. Edwards was not injured as to its spirituality, by his official engagements and trials, is sufficiently evident from these extracts. He was still a holy man of God, whose heart was in heaven, and with whom converse with God was the highest delight. The remainder of his diary is chiefly confined to the period of his life which has now been reviewed, and is therefore inserted here. It is only to be regretted, that through the multiplicity of his affairs, he should have found it necessary to discontinue it. Remainder of Diary. Thursday forenoon, October 4, 1723. Have this day fixed and established it, that Christ Jesus has promised me faithfully, that, if I will do what is my duty, and according to the best of my prudence in the matter, that my condition in this world shall be better for me than any other condition whatever, and more to my welfare to all eternity. And, therefore, whatever my condition shall be, I will esteem it to be such, and if I find need of faith in the matter, that I will confess it is in piety before God. Vid. Resolution 57, and June 9th. Sabbath night, October 7th. Have lately erred, in not allowing time enough for conversation. Friday night, October 12th. I see there are some things quite contrary to the soundness and perfection of Christianity, in which almost all good men do allow themselves, and where innate corruption has an unrestrained secret vent, which they never take notice of, or think to be no hurt, or cloak under the name of virtue. Which things exceedingly darken the brightness, and hide the loveliness, of Christianity. Who can understand his errors? Oh, that I might be kept from secret faults! Sabbath morning, October 14th. Narrowly to observe after what manner I act when I am in a hurry, and to act as much so at other times as I can without prejudice to the business. Monday morning, October 15th. I seem to be afraid, after errors and decays, to give myself the full exercise of spiritual meditation, not to give way to such fears. Thursday, October 18th. To follow the example of Mr. B, who though he meets with great difficulties, yet undertakes them with a smiling countenance, as though he thought them but little, and speaks of them as if they were very small. Friday night, November 1st. When I am unfit for other business to perfect myself in writing characters. Friday afternoon, November 22nd. For the time to come, when I am in a lifeless frame in secret prayer, to force myself to expatiate, as if I were praying before others, more than I used to do. Tuesday forenoon, November 26th. It is a most evil and pernicious practice, in meditations on afflictions, to sit ruminating on the aggravations of the affliction, and reckoning up the evil, dark circumstances thereof, and dwelling long on the dark side, it doubles and trebles the affliction. And so when speaking of them to others, to make them as bad as we can, and use our eloquence to set forth our own troubles, is to be all the while making new trouble, and feeding and pampering the old. Whereas the contrary practice would starve our affliction. If we dwelt on the bright side of things in our thoughts, and extenuated them all that we possibly could, when speaking of them, we should think little of them ourselves, and the affliction would really, in a great measure, vanish away. Friday night, November 29th. As a help to attention in social prayer, to take special care to make a particular remark at the beginning of every petition, confession, etc., Monday morning, December 9th, to observe whether I express any kind of fretting emotion for the next 3 weeks. Thursday night, December 12th. If, at any time, I am forced to tell others wherein I think they are somewhat to blame, in order to avoid the important evil that would otherwise ensue, not to tell it to them so that there shall be a probability of their taking it as the effect of little, fretting, angry emotions of mind. Vid. August 28th. When I do want, or am likely to want, good books, to spend time in studying mathematics, and in reviewing other kinds of old learning. To spend more time in visiting friends, in the more private duties of a pastor, in taking care of worldly business, in going abroad, and other things that I may contrive. Friday morning, December 27th. At the end of every month, to examine my behavior strictly by some chapter in the New Testament, more especially made up of rules of life. At the end of the year, to examine my behavior by the rules of the New Testament in general, reading many chapters. It would also be convenient sometime at the end of the year to read for this purpose in the book of Proverbs. Tuesday night, December 31st. Concluded never to suffer nor express any angry emotions of mind, more or less, except the honor of God calls for it in zeal for Him, or to preserve myself from being trampled on. 1724. Wednesday, January 1st. Not to spend too much time in thinking, even of important and necessary worldly business, and to allow everything its proportion of thought, according to its urgency and importance. Thursday night, January 2nd. These things established, dash that time gained in things of lesser importance, is as much gained in things of greater. That a minute gained in times of confusion, conversation, or in a journey, is as good as minute gained in my study, at my most retired times. And so, in general, that a minute gained at one time is as good as at another. Friday night, January 3rd. The time and pains laid out in seeking the world, is to be proportioned to the necessity, usefulness, and importance of it, with respect to another world, together with the uncertainty of living, and of retaining. Provided, that nothing that our duty enjoins, or that is amiable, be omitted, and nothing sinful or unbecoming be done for the sake of it. Friday, January 10th. After having written to a considerable extent in shorthand, which he used, when he wished what he wrote to be effectually concealed from everyone but himself, he adds the following. Remember to act according to Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Monday, January 20th. I have been very much to blame, in that I have not been as full, and plain, and downright, in my standing up for virtue and religion, when I have had fair occasion, before those who seem to take no delight in such things. If such conversation would not be agreeable to them, I have in some degree minced the matter, that I might not displease, and might not speak against the grain, more than I should have loved to have done with others, to whom it would be agreeable to speak for religion. I ought to be exceedingly bold with such persons, not talking in a melancholy strain, but in one confident and fearless, assured of the truth and excellence of the cause. Monday, February 3rd. Let everything have the value now which it will have upon a sick bed, and frequently, in my pursuits of whatever kind, let this question come into my mind. How much shall I value this upon my deathbed? Wednesday, February 5th. I have not in times past, in my prayers, enough insisted on the glorifying of God in the world, on the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, the prosperity of the church, and the good of man. Determined that this objection is without weight, namely, that it is not likely that God will make great alterations in the whole world, and overturnings in kingdoms and nations, only for the prayers of one obscure person, seeing such things used to be done in answer to the united prayers of the whole church. And that if my prayers should have some influence, it would be but imperceptible and small. Thursday, February 6th. More convinced than ever of the usefulness of free religious conversation. I find by conversing on natural philosophy that I gain knowledge abundantly faster and see the reasons of things much more clearly than in private study. Wherefore, earnestly to seek at all times for religious conversation. For those with whom I can at all times, with profit and delight, and with freedom, so converse. Friday, February 7th. Resolved, if God will assist me to it, that I will not care about things, when, upon any account, I have prospect of ill success or adversity. And that I will not think about it, any further than just to do what prudence directs to for prevention, according to Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. To 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon God, for he careth for you. And again, take no thought for the morrow. And again, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, and what shall I drink, and wherewithal shall I be clothed? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Saturday night, February 15th. I find that when eating, I cannot be convinced in the time of it, that if I should eat more, I should exceed the bounds of strict temperance, though I have had the experience of 2 years of the like. And yet as soon as I have done, in 3 minutes I am convinced of it. But yet when I eat again, and remember it, still while eating I am fully convinced that I have not eaten what is but for nature, nor can I be convinced that my appetite and feeling is as it was before. It seems to me that I shall be somewhat faint if I leave off then. But when I have finished, I am convinced again, and so it is from time to time. I have observed that more really seems to be truth, when it makes for my interest, or is in other respects according to my inclination, than it seems if it be otherwise. And it seems to me, that the words in which I express it are more than the thing will properly bear. But if the thing be against my interest, the words of different import seem as much as the thing will properly bear. Though there is some little seeming indecorum, as if it looked like affectation, in religious conversation as there is also in acts of kindness, yet this is to be broke through. Tuesday, February 18th. Resolved, to act with sweetness and benevolence, and according to the 47th resolution, in all bodily dispositions, sick or well, at ease or in pain, sleepy or watchful. And not to suffer discomposure of body to discompose my mind. Saturday, February 22nd. I observe that there are some evil habits, which do increase and grow stronger, even in some good people, as they grow older. Habits that much obscure the beauty of Christianity, some things which are according to their natural tempers, which in some measure prevail when they are young in Christ, and the evil disposition having an unobserved control, the habit at last grows very strong, and commonly regulates the practices until death. By this means, old Christians are very commonly, in some respects, more unreasonable than those who are young. I am afraid of contracting such habits, particularly of grudging to give, and to do, and of procrastinating. Sabbath, February 23rd. I must be contented, where I have anything strange or remarkable to tell, not to make it appear so remarkable as it is indeed. Lest through fear of this, and the desire of making a thing appear very remarkable, I should exceed the bounds of simple verity. When I am at a feast, or a meal, that very well pleases my appetite, I must not merely take care to leave off with as much of an appetite as at ordinary meals. For when there is a great variety of dishes, I may do that, after I have eaten twice as much as at other meals is sufficient. If I act according to my resolution, I shall desire riches no otherwise than as they are helpful to religion. But this I determine, as what is really evident from many parts of Scripture, that to fallen man, they have a greater tendency to hurt religion. Monday, March 16th. To practice this sort of self-denial, when, as sometimes on fair days, I find myself more particularly disposed to regard the glories of the world, than to betake myself to the study of serious religion. Saturday, May 23. How it comes about I know not, but have remarked it hitherto, that at those times when I have read the Scriptures most, I have evermore been most lively and in the best frame. At Yale College. Saturday night, June 6. This week has been a very remarkable week with me, with respect to despondencies, fears, perplexities, multitudes of cares, and distraction of mind, it being the week I came hither to New Haven, in order to entrance upon the office of tutor of the college. I have now abundant reason to be convinced of the troublesomeness and vexation of the world, and that it will never be another kind of world. Tuesday, July 7. When I am giving the relation of a thing, remember to abstain from altering either in the matter or manner of speaking, so much, as that if everyone, afterwards, should alter as much, it would at last come to be properly false. Tuesday, September 2. By a sparingness in diet, and eating as much as may be what is light and easy of digestion, I shall doubtless be able to think more clearly, and shall gain time. 1. By lengthening out my life. 2. Shall need less time for digestion, after meals. 3. Shall be able to study more closely, without injury to my health. 4. Shall need less time for sleep. 5. Shall more seldom be troubled with the headache. Saturday night, September 12. Crosses of the nature of that which I met with this week, thrust me quite below all comforts in religion. They appear no more than vanity and stubble, especially when I meet with them so unprepared for them. I shall not be fit to encounter them, except I have a far stronger and more permanent faith, hope, and love. Wednesday, September 30. It has been a prevailing thought with me, to which I have given place in practice, that it is best sometimes to eat or drink, when it will do me no good, because the hurt that it will do me, will not be equal to the trouble of denying myself. But I have determined to suffer that thought to prevail no longer. The hurries of commencement and diversion of the vacancy, has been the occasion of my sinking so exceedingly, as in the last 3 weeks. Monday, October 5. I believe it is a good way, when prone to unprofitable thoughts, to deny myself and break off my thoughts by keeping diligently to my study, that they may not have time to operate to work me to such a listless frame. I am apt to think it a good way when I am indisposed to reading and study, to read of my own remarks, the fruit of my study in divinity, etc., to set me a-going again. Friday, November 6. Felt sensibly somewhat of that trust and affiance in Christ, and with delight committing of my soul to Him, of which our divines used to speak, and about which I have been somewhat in doubt. Tuesday, November 10. To mark all that I say in conversation merely to beget in others a good opinion of myself, and examine it. Sabbath, November 15. Determined, when I am indisposed to prayer, always to premeditate what to pray for. And that it is better, that the prayer should be of almost any shortness, than that my mind should be almost continually off from what I say. Sabbath, November 22. Considering that bystanders always copy some faults, which we do not see ourselves, or of which at least we are not so fully sensible, and that there are many secret workings of corruption, which escape our sight, and of which others only are sensible, resolved, therefore, that I will, if I can by any convenient means, learn what faults others find in me, or what things they see in me, that appear any way blameworthy, unlovely, or unbecoming. Friday, February 12, 1725. The very thing I now want, to give me a clearer and more immediate view of the perfections and glory of God, is as clear a knowledge of the manner of God's exerting Himself, with respect to spirits and mind, as I have of His operations concerning matter and bodies. Tuesday, February 16. A virtue which I need in a higher degree, to give a beauty and luster to my behavior, is gentleness. If I had more of an air of gentleness, I should be much mended. Friday, May 21. If ever I am inclined to turn to the opinion of any other sect, resolved, beside the most deliberate consideration, earnest prayer, etc., privately to desire all the help that can possibly be afforded me, from some of the most judicious men in the country, together with the prayers of wise and holy men, however strongly persuaded I may seem to be that I am in the right. Saturday, May 22. When I reprove for faults, whereby I am in any way injured, to defer till the thing is quite over and done with. For that is the way, both to reprove aright, and without the least mixture of spirit, or passion, and to have reproofs effectual, and not suspected. Friday, May 28th. It seems to me, that whether I am now converted or not, I am so settled in the state I am in, that I shall go on it all my life. But, however settled I may be, yet I will continue to pray to God, not to suffer me to be deceived about it, nor to sleep in an unsafe condition. And ever and anon, will call all into question and try myself, using for help some of our old divines, that God may have opportunities to answer my prayers, and the Spirit of God to show me my error, if I am in one. Saturday night, June 6th. I am sometimes in a frame so listless, that there is no other way of profitably improving time, but conversation, visiting, or recreation, or some bodily exercise. However, it may be best in the first place, before resorting to either of these, to try the whole circle of my mental employments. November 16th. When confined at Mr. Stiles's, I think it would be of special advantage to me, with respect to my truer interest, as near as I can in my studies, to observe this rule to let half a day's, or at most a day's, study in other things, be succeeded by half a day's or a day's study in divinity. One thing wherein I have erred, as I would be complete in all social duties, is, in neglecting to write letters to friends. And I would be forewarned of the danger of neglecting to visit my friends and relations when we are parted. When one suppresses thoughts that tend to divert the run of the mind's operations from religion, whether they are melancholy, or anxious, or passionate, or any others, there is this good effect of it, that it keeps the mind in its freedom. Those thoughts are stopped in the beginning, that would have set the mind a-going in that stream. There are a great many exercises, that for the present seem not to help, but rather impede, religious meditation and affections, the fruit of which is reaped afterwards, and is of far greater worth than what is lost. For thereby the mind is only for the present diverted. But what is attained is, upon occasion, of use for the whole lifetime. September 26, 1726. 'Tis just about 3 years, that I have been for the most part in a low sunk estate and condition, miserably senseless, to what I used to be, about spiritual things. 'Twas 3 years ago, the week before commencement. Just about the same time this year, I began to be somewhat as I used to be. Jan 1728. I think Christ has recommended rising early in the morning, by his rising from the grave very early. January 22, 1734. I judge that it is best, when I am in a good frame for divine contemplation, or engaged in reading the scriptures, or any study of divine subjects, that, ordinarily, I will not be interrupted by going to dinner, but will forego my dinner, rather than be broke off. April 4, 1735. When at any time I have a sense of any divine thing, then to turn it in my thoughts to a practical improvement. As for instance, when I am in my mind, on some argument for the truth of religion, the reality of a future state, and the like, then to think with myself, how safely I may venture to sell all, for a future good. So when at any time I have a more than ordinary sense of the glory of the saints in another world, to think how well it is worth my while to deny myself, and to sell all that I have, for this glory, etc., May 18th. My mind at present is, never to suffer my thoughts and meditations at all to ruminate. June 11th. To set apart days of meditation on particular subjects. As, sometimes to set apart a day for the consideration of the greatness of my sins. At another, to consider the dreadfulness and certainty of the future misery of ungodly men. At another, the truth and certainty of religion. And so, of the great future things promised and threatened in the scriptures.